A look at the local high school sports scene, from coaches and athletes to a preview of this week's games. It's the Rudin Report on WICC. Now, your host, Dave Rudin.
Welcome to the Rudin Report Live. I'm Dave Rudin, back after a week off, and we're going to be making a big change to the Rudin Report Live for the wintertime. We're going to become basketball, boys basketball centric after a season of football. The FCAC boys basketball season has been underway for a couple of weeks. I've been on vacation. This is what my 1 hour back before I take another few days off, but I've been following closely, and kind of an interesting start, kind of a strange dynamic to the season, and we're going to break it all down right now. Joining me back, I believe, the third year in a row doing this together, and he's such a team player. He is calling in from Jacksonville, Florida, was going to do this poolside, but it started to rain, so I think he's in his son's office right now. Former Trinity Catholic coach Mike Walsh. Mike, how you doing?
Good, good, good. Actually, the weather in Florida changes every hour, I think. Right now, the sun is out, and it's 70 degrees, and it's beautiful. But a half hour ago, it was showers and rain. So I'm doing it inside from the office, and happy to be here. Looking forward to another FCAC season basketball. I mean, I think this year will even be better than last year. And, you know, I'm proud to be part of the show. I'm glad that we're doing live radio so more people can hear us and, you know, continue the great job you're doing in basketball from what you did in football. It was excellent. I listened to the podcast and fantastic job. So I'm hoping that I can help you out with the basketball.
You always do. I think probably nobody watches NFHS more than you do. And it's going to be helpful with me having been on vacation, though I've been following very closely. I think I have a good read on the league. I've certainly been texting with a lot of coaches. I guess the first big question we can ask is, I don't remember, and you go back even farther than I do, I don't remember Staples ever being a boys basketball preseason favorite. And not only are they the favorite this year, but I guess it's fair to ask at this point, can anybody beat them?
Yeah, you know, Staples has developed the program. Colin Devine started developing it and did a great job there for many years. But now Dave Goldshaw has taken it to another level. And this year, I don't know if you call them prohibitive favorites, but they certainly are the favorite. But again, anything can happen in the FCAC. As you know, last year, Richfield looked unbeatable. They were 15-0 in the regular season, and then were knocked off in the playoffs, ironically, by Staples. But you're right. This year, Staples has it all.
Yeah, Staples has had Ridgefield's number the last 2 years. So it's kind of that, you know, they've been Ridgefield's kryptonite.
No, you're absolutely right. I really think that this year they are head and shoulders above everybody else as far as talent is concerned. I've seen them 3 or 4 times on live stream. Now, they haven't played a tremendous caliber of teams. In other words, the teams they played were not as good as they'll probably see in the FCAC, but they were impressive. They played great man-to-man defense. They rebound well. And they shoot it. They shoot the three very, very well. They have Sam Klatsko, who to me, I will argue anybody this, he's probably outside of T.J. Wilson at T.J. Wright
T.J.
at St. Joe's, the best players and two best players in the FCAC. And he's even gotten it to another level this year. He's a really good player. And
we'll break down each of the teams. I just want to sort of set the mood because we're going to go through. We're gonna do our preseason rankings. But I think the storyline is, can anyone beat Staples? One thing that one real unfortunate thing that's happened that is going to affect the race is Trumbull, the defending champion, got there. Buddy Bray is his first title last year. And I think a lot of people's I know just from all the preview information I got from the coaches, it was Staples and Trumbull 1-2 in some configuration. And then opening night, Ryan Johnston, the MVP of the championship game last year, he injured his knee. He had to have season-ending surgery. And that's one thing that since opening day has really changed the dynamic of the league.
No, you're right. I thought the loss of Johnston, and they actually beat Wilbur Cross of New Haven in that game, and then he went down with a knee injury, which, you know, it happens, but you feel for the young man. I mean, he's a great kid, and baseball is his best sport, so hopefully he can recover and, you know, be ready for baseball season.
Yeah, I felt real bad. I was actually down in Georgia when that happened. I got the box score and I saw it did not play, and I made a couple of text messages, and then actually after I heard, I got in touch with Buddy. I just felt really bad, bad for Ryan number one, and for the Trumbull team number two. Then after, you know, I think the other two storylines is how good is Ridgefield? They're off to a 1-2 start. They always play tough non-league competition early on, and they've also been playing without Alex Hickey, who I know has been injured in the preseason. I heard from some people up there. So, you know, getting information there is like getting it from North Korea. So I don't know what his status is. Hopefully it's not anything serious and it's just short term and he'll be back. But If there's a team now that, you know, could play with Staples, that would be the one, I think.
Well, he's key, obviously, to Ridgefield. But I would have to, you know, talking about storylines, I would have to say that, you know, Wilton could be a surprise team this year. He's got Ryan Lachetta, and I know we're not talking about the players yet, but Joel, and especially at home. When you play at Wilton, it's a whole different atmosphere. So Wilton, if they can make the playoffs and get to that second round where they'll host the FCAC tournament, they could be dangerous. You know, so, again, that's the storyline, I think, in those two teams.
I think the other big storyline, and you and I have spoken a lot about it the last 2 days, is parity. I think parity in the league from – possibly number two or possibly number three, all the way down to maybe 10 or 12. I don't think that right now, maybe that's going to change, but at least on paper and what we've seen so far, I think we're going to see a whole bunch of teams beating each other. And I wouldn't be surprised if we went into the final week of the season and we had 4 to 6 teams battling for two spots.
Well, Dave, I honestly agree with you. I've seen most of the teams on live stream, some 2 or 3 times. And after Staples, I think that 2 through 13 even could possibly be among the 8 that go to the FCAC playoffs. It's going to be a real, real interesting, exciting season to find out, you know, who's going to beat who and who's going to, you know, be able to make the playoffs. You won't be able to tell until the last week of the season. I guarantee you that.
We're going to have, actually, I neglected at the very top also to mention, we're going to have coming on a little bit later, New Canaan coach Danny Melzer, and he's really appropriate to have as our first guest, not only because he's a very good coach, but he's reliant, as we saw last night in his opener, on football players, and there's a lot of discussion just with football players, and if your football team goes deep into the season, and you basically have to. Luke Robinson, the quarterback, was our final guest on our final football show, and he said he basically won the championship on Saturday, and then was going to practice Sunday, even though he, I don't think, was participating much. But Danny's going to come on and talk about that. Before we take a break and start running down the teams, Mike, I know the other thing we talked about in my ride in here. I don't think you really, based on what we've seen, I don't know that we've really learned too much more, because teams tend to either play up or play down in the preseason, and there aren't a lot of 50-50 games. You've got people like, you got teams like Ridgefield that always schedule up and maybe take on an extra loss or two early to be better prepared for the end of the season. And then you have teams that either want to get the confidence level up, or they have younger teams and want to just ease their way into the schedule, you know, maybe playing down a bit or playing in different tournaments. So even though most of the teams have winning records thus far, I don't know that we've really learned too much over the first 2 weeks.
No, I agree with you on that, Dave. And some teams with losing records, as you say, like Ridgefield, they lost to Notre Dame and West Haven, who's probably the best team in the state, and Holy Cross of Waterbury, who's right up there in the top 10. And even Stamford High, they played Hillhouse, and the other day played Windsor. So, you know, if you schedule up, you think you have a good team and you want to be challenged and get them ready for the SEAC. And if you schedule, as you say, down or at least competitive teams that you think you can beat or have a chance to beat, you want to give your team confidence. And your upcoming guest is very, very good at that, Danny Melzer. He likes to get the wins in early and give confidence to his team, especially this year with all the football players that he has.
Yeah, he didn't play in his first game till last night. He wanted to wanted to give his team as much of opportunity to practice together as possible. So he played the latest game, and his four leading scorers last night were all football players and were all key parts of the championship game. But why don't we take a break, our first break right here, and we come back. Mike and I are going to go through my preseason top eight and see if we agree and if we have any changes. You're listening to the Rudin Report live on WICC.
Teams, athletes, coaches, and everything that makes local high school sports great. Now, back to the Rudin Report on WICC with Dave Rudin.
Okay, we're back, and as we did last year, I think what we're going to do is I did my preview before going on vacation, and I did a prediction of the top eight teams who's going to get into the playoffs. And why don't we go down those teams in order? We can maybe comment, Mike, on whether anything has changed. Obviously, with Trumbull, definitely has. I know you did your preseason eight just now, so as you started getting into it early in the show, Staples is 4-0, and they've got a bunch of shooters. That they've got one of the best 1-2 duos in the league with Sam Klacko and Adam Udell. Klacko, as you said, is, along with TJ Wright probably, and maybe Sean Wilson at Trumbull, the early favorites. I'd probably make Sam a slight favorite over them for preseason player of the year. And Adam Udell is just a great point guard who does a little bit of everything. And then they've got Mason Tobias back. They've got Matt Corrigan, who's a transfer from Fairfield Ward. And then they've got a couple of outside shooters that after you make a couple of comments I want to talk about and what I think is going to be the key for Staples this year. But I know you're as high on the Wreckers as I am.
Well, no, I think everybody in the league is high on the Wreckers. They you mentioned the 3-point shooting, which, you know, obviously they do very well. The one name you didn't mention was Dylan Lohman, who's only a sophomore. He hit 7 threes, yeah, I think, the other day. He's a deadly outside shooter to go along with the other three that you mentioned. But they play great defense. That's what's impressed me so far. Now, maybe the quality of team that they're playing, but I did see them in the fall league against Notre Dame at Fairfield. And, you know, defensively, I thought they were very good. And I think that's, you know, that's something that nobody really mentions. And I think that's what will carry them to a successful season in the SF. Because sometimes your three-point shots just don't fall. Like I saw one game where somebody played, Newtown played them a zone, and they had at Newtown, which is a difficult place to play, but they had a little trouble hitting their threes. And that could be an Achilles heel if, in fact, they are missing the threes. But the defense turned it around and carried them, and they were able to defeat Newtown. But that's something they don't give enough credit to as far as Staples is concerned.
Yeah, you kind of alluded to where I was going to go next, and that was Dylan Lohman and Charlie Bauman. I think what's going to be interesting, I think Staples is going to be a better team if Sam Klatko's scoring 20 or 22 a game than if he's scoring 30 a game, which he certainly is capable of doing. And he's going to draw a lot of defensive attention. But I was at the first half of the opener against Xavier, and Dylan Lohman went off and hit seven threes. And you got guys like Bauman, and they even have one or two other players on the bench. They've got a bunch of guys who it might be a different player on any given night, but I think they've got a few players who are good outside options. And like I said, I think if Sam is still getting his points and you're seeing three or four guys in double figures, I think that's going to make Staples a better team than if Klatko is scoring at will. I'm sure we I agree with you, by the way, on the defense. Staples has been playing great defense so far.
Right, and that's the thing I think that will separate them. And I also give them credit. They stepped up to Division I in the state tournament, which shows they have confidence in their ability to win games too.
Okay, so we have Staples as you have them ranked number one. Let's go guess we should move around so we get to everybody. Trumbull's 3-1, a big 59-47 win last night with Sean Wilson scoring 37 on six threes. But I have them number two, and without Ryan Johnston, they have a whole bunch of unknowns right now. And I think you got to, without Ryan Johnston, they go from number two to probably battling for one of the last spots.
I agree. Actually, I dropped them down to number eight. And that's not because of just Johnson, but even with Johnson, they had to find another scorer, I mean, besides Sean Wilson. They were searching for that scorer. They beat Wilbercross early at Trumbull. But then they had some tough games against teams once Johnson went down. We're not at the FCAC level. So I think they'll come around because they have good coaching and, they'll be battling though for one of those eight spots. So, I mean, it's a big blow, but like you say, it's we're all rooting for Ryan Johnson to get healthy and be ready for baseball. But it certainly affects their team for their playoff situation this year.
Okay, number three, I have Ridgefield, 1-2, but again, two losses to really good teams. They beat Danbury 58-53, and they got that game. Peter Stoplowski scored 23, and Jason Genova, who each year Ridgefield has somebody we don't know about who emerges as a top scorer. It seems like it's a cycle. They just bring them off the conveyor belt each year. And this year so far, it seems to be Genova, and he had 22 in the win against Danbury.
Yeah, no, I mean, obviously Andrew has a system, and he's got a development system, which allows him to bring in players like Genova. But they have a bigs. They have as you talked about Peter, but also they have another big who's a shooter. I forget his name off the top of my head. But listen, they're going to develop. They're going to be tough. I have them ranked 2 and actually 2A and 2B with Wilton. But, you know, don't discount Richfield. They always seem to, be part of the mix, and they'll certainly be part of the eight playoff teams this year, I would think.
I have them now elevated to two with the Trumbull situation, and I agree with you. And I think Soplowski is going to be one of the key, I'll call him a domino player in the league. I think, number one, there aren't a lot of teams that have really quality bigs in the middle. Fairfield Ward's one of the other ones. He got some playing time last year. He got some good minutes last year and showed a lot of potential. And I think he's going to give them that presence in the middle that they haven't had maybe since, if my memory's good, Dylan Vallette. I don't know if they have had anybody really since then that was a true kind of pivot player. But I think if he play, I think he's going to cause matchup troubles for other teams, and that's going to give Ridgefield a key dynamic. And again, then it's just waiting to see what happens with Hickey, and I'm sure some of these other guys. You know, Ridgefield's got a great youth program. They always have players on the team, and I'm sure there's several other players that we just don't know about right now that are going to step into key roles.
Well, I mentioned number one. His name is Joseph Humphreys.
Humphreys, yeah.
Who hit a couple threes against Notre Dame or West Haven. He's going to help them too. He's got pretty good size. And as you say, though, the key, they also, let's face it, they play as good man-to-man defense as anybody else in the league. And that'll help them too. I think they'll have an excellent, they'll definitely make the playoffs. And then who knows, maybe this is the year that, they reverse the curse on Staples. Who knows?
They're certainly not going to be lacking for motivation. Let's get one more team in before the break. And that, and you and I so far are in complete alignment. I have Wilton number four, so they're my number three right now. They're 2-1. Real good win yesterday at West Hempstead, 60-58. I guess they had a big lead early, lost some of it, but held on. And they've got a potentially real strong 1-2 scoring punch with Ryan Lucetta and Liam McKiernan. Lucetta went for 26 yesterday and McKiernan 18. I know McKiernan's still getting into shape. I guess he had appendicitis. So he's just getting into full basketball shape right now. But again, you know, this is a Wilton team. I know they have, and I can't remember the player, but they have a big player in the middle too, who is a little bit, needs a little bit of fine tuning, but could be a force as well. But when you have two good scorers like that, and you have one of the best home court advantages, that's gonna give you a big edge.
And they have Joel, who does an excellent job in putting his players in the right spot. I watched them twice. The first game I watched them against Tand, and they really looked out of sync, and McKiernan was not obviously ready to play. But the next two games, they were ready. They played well. Ryan Lucetta is, right now, I'd have to say, is one of the five best players in the league. He keeps 22 against Newtown, 27 against West Hempstead, Long Island. So they have the pieces, and Joel put them together. So that's why I have them, and you have them at number four.
Okay, why don't we take a break, and we'll take a little bit of a pause on our preseason rankings. And joining us after this commercial is going to be Danny Melzer, basketball coach at New Canaan. You're listening to the Rudin Report live on WICC.
He knows everything you need to know about local high school sports. Back to the Rudin Report with Dave Rudin on WICC 600 and 95.9, the voice of Connecticut.
Okay, we're back, and sort of fitting giving the football to basketball season dynamic to have my first guest on for the basketball portion of the Rudin Report live this year. Somebody Mike and I know real well. I go back, I remember him as the winning pitcher in a state championship baseball game, covered him as a player, and now lucky enough to see he's as good a coach as he was a player. New Canaan's Danny Melzer. Danny, how you doing?
Great, Dave. Thanks for being here. How you doing, Coach Walsh? Hope you guys had a nice holiday season.
I'm doing real well.
Excited to be talking about basketball.
I even go back further with Danny when he was a Little League pitcher at Springdale Little League. He still had that curveball then, took it all the way to the state championship with Stanford High. So, Danny, I hope all is well with you and the family, and you're getting ready for an exciting season of basketball.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And, yeah, my arm still hurts from all those curveballs, but it was well worth it.
Okay, well, we're gonna, New Canaan was the last team to open the season, which is what we're going to talk about in part. 65-33 win yesterday, and I look over the box score. Luke Robinson with 19, Andrew Esposito, 9 points, Simon Chakarov and Michael Smith, 8 each. And those are four of the best, if not the four best players on the football team this year. So, number one, I'm sure you're happy, A, to finally play a game, and B, to get off to such a good start.
Yeah, for sure. You know, I wasn't really sure what to expect, given that we hadn't played a game up until yesterday. So, we were eager to get started. And then, you know, I was really pleased with the result. You know, we got contributions, as you can tell, from so many different players. And I think that's kind of going to how it's going to be that way all season. And so, you know, now we get to play for a championship tomorrow night against a really good Bethel team. And, you know, we're excited to get to practice today and gear up for that.
You scheduled your first game for about as late as you could, because you're one of those teams maybe most affected, when you look at the box score from yesterday, by the short transition from football to basketball season. You know, 2 weeks ago yesterday, your top players, or many of your top players, were winning a state championship game against Darien. Just, we've talked about it a lot. Why do you schedule the game so late, and how hard is it because you do that? Is it any different because you really need the extra practice time?
Well, listen, you know, we hadn't done this in the past. This is the first time we'd ever opened up this late. But I knew how important these guys were going to be to us this year, and I also could count pretty. I could almost guarantee that our football team was going to make it that far because of how good they are every single year, and I knew how good they were this year. So, you know, we kind of took that into consideration. You know, but you got to understand, whatever we lose by our players not being there in the beginning of the year, we also gain a lot in terms of their winning pedigree, in terms of their physical strength. They come in really eager to compete. And let's face it, they get to play under the tutelage of the best high school football coach in Connecticut State history. So, you know, they're certainly, we wish we had them on time, but at the same time, when they come back, they're, we get a lot of positives out of that as well.
We're going to circle back. Go ahead, Mike, because you talked about this on our ride-in about the winning attitude that having a good football players bring.
I agree with Danny as far as that's concerned. You know, when you come from football, and the players that you just mentioned that won the state championship, they're used to winning, and they're competitive, and, you know, they'll go from football to basketball and expect to win. And I think that is a tremendous plus. And, you know, and like you said, they play for Lou Marinelli, which teaches them discipline and their strength. And in a way, it hurts you don't have them for the couple of weeks, but in a way, it helps because, you know, they're used to winning, and they're easily coachable. Let's put it that way. So I found in the past that it takes them about 3 weeks or so to get to where they want to be as far as basketball shape. But when they do, they're going to really be successful.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, the four guys you listed, they are incredible football players. You know, I think three of them were all state, and the other one was the quarterback for 2 years and had an awesome year. So, I mean, it's not like they just play football. They excel at a very high level in football. And so they bring that level of achievement, that level of hard work, that level of commitment and competition to basketball. And you're right, it does take them a little while to get started. But they understand that. They know that. They work towards that. And, you know, that's why, you know, I think pushing our games back a little bit further certainly helped. And we're not, you know, we're not where we intend to be at the end of the year, but we're making strides toward that. So it's been a good start to the year, and excited to play again tomorrow night.
And Michael Smith was my Rudin Report Player of the Year. So, I mean, four outstanding players. You and I covered all three New Canaan State football games, and so you and I got to spend some time together on the sidelines. And I remember talking to you, I think it was at the semifinal game at home, and asked you how practice was going. And I think you said right off the bat, your first practice is you only had five varsity players practicing. How, as a coach, do you have to change your preseason when you're getting so many of your key players coming in late from football, as opposed to what you would normally do if you just had all basketball players?
Yeah, it's definitely a different approach. You know, it's a lot more skill work. It's a lot more individualized, you know, stuff in practice. And we kind of hold off on installs until everybody's there. So that changed a little bit. I don't think we're quite as we don't have all our stuff in right now like we probably would in most years. So that changed. But at the same time, you know, the guys that were there got tons of reps. You know, they're in great basketball shape. They improved a lot because they got so many extra reps. So, you know, there's two ways of looking at it. I mean, you'd love to have all your guys there, but at the same time, there's a lot of positives to take away from it as well. And, you know, I think the football guys, to their credit, you know, when their football practice was over, they'd come into basketball practice and sit there and watch and try to soak in what we were doing. So it wasn't like they were completely void of basketball up until the 17th. So, you know, I give those guys a lot of credit. It's certainly not easy to be preparing for a state championship and still want to be part of the basketball program in any way you can. But they did, and I give them a lot of credit for that.
Is it hard for your regular basketball players to have to go through an extended preseason? They must get, after a while, just antsy to play somebody other than their teammates.
Yeah, I'm sure they would have preferred to start a little bit earlier, but they also understand the importance of having our entire team there, and they took it in stride. They had a great first 3 weeks of practice. They were really locked in on getting better and learning. So, you know, I think there was some eagerness to play other players, but at the same time, you know, we did get some scrimmages in, so we got an opportunity to see some other looks there. And like I said, you know, I think the amount of reps that they got early on in the year is really helping them moving forward.
Mike, I know you've been a big fan of what Danny's done at New Canaan over the years since taking over there.
I'm sorry, Dave, I didn't hear what you said.
I said, I know you've been a big fan of what Danny's done with the program since taking over there.
I mean, there's no question about it. Danny's done a great job. And I think the best job you've done is to get along with Coach Marinelli so that you can his football players all go and play basketball. A lot of times, and maybe in the past, teams, kids play football and say, I'm not going to play basketball. But his kids seem to enjoy the competition, and they come out and they play basketball for you, and they make the team better, obviously.
Yeah, Lou's really been supportive of me and the basketball program since the day I got there. In fact, I met with him a few times before I even took the job in New Canaan, and he was super supportive. So I'm grateful to him. I've watched his practices. I obviously am on the sideline at a lot of his games. I've learned a ton from him, just not just about coaching, but just life in general. You know, he was a PE teacher at the high school for my first 4 or 5 years. I learned a lot from him there as well. So he's been a great mentor to me. He's been super supportive of us. And you know, anytime I've needed anything from him, he's come through for me. So I'm very grateful to have him, you know, in my life and a part of what we're doing.
That's the kind of guy he is, and that's the kind of guy you are. You do a great job. One of the things I always felt is that they kind of, you know, football goes, kind of dictates, and basketball comes kind of quick. It'd be nice if we had a break and you know, started basketball maybe a week after the state championships and practice. But there just isn't time to do that. And I give you credit for, you know, being able to mesh your team together in such a short period of time. It's not easy, and you're to be credited for that.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. And, yeah, I do feel for the kids not getting a break. You know, yeah, remember, they play essentially four football games, and theoretically four of their most challenging and most physical football games in a span of 20 days. And then they've got to turn around and go right into basketball season. So I do feel for them. I try to give them as much time as possible off. You know, I'm constantly in communication with them and asking them if they need more time. But you know, the type of kids they are, they're not gonna take me up on that. They want to play, they want to compete, and so I'm sure they're banged up, I'm sure they're sore. But you know, I give them a lot of credit for fighting through it.
As we finish up with Danny here, Danny, with the extra time, have you gotten out and scouted a lot? And what are your early impressions of the league right now?
You know, I'll tell you, I'm really impressed with the FCAC. I mean, look how we did in the FCAC SEC Challenge. You've got a couple teams that are undefeated, like McMahon and West Hill. I think a lot of teams are improved from last year. I mean, obviously Staples looks, you know, really strong, but I think that the depth of the league was on display in that challenge. You know, I think in years past, some of the bottom teams of the FCAC might have been a little weaker, and I think this year that's not the case. I don't think there's a single easy out in the FCX this year, and there usually isn't, but usually towards the bottom there's some teams that are a little bit weaker, and I just don't see that this year. So I think you know, when FCX season starts in January, I think you're going to see upsets. I think you're going to see a lot of close games. I think it's going to be a really exciting season. So I'm encouraged by what I see by the league. And I hope we can do our part as well in that challenge when we play Career later in January.
Well, Danny, it's great to have you on. And like I said, the whole football, basketball dynamic affects you more than any coach in the league, you and St. Joseph in particular. It'd be a good 7-on-7 battle. But good luck tomorrow. Good chance I'll be seeing you Friday night in Westport for your league opener with Staples, and continued success this year. And thanks a lot for taking the time here to join us.
Keep up the good work.
Thank you, Coach. Thanks, Dave. It's good to chat with you guys. I love what you're doing with the show and all the coverage of the FCAC. And you know, I know I can speak for all the coaches that we really appreciate all that.
Thanks, appreciate it. That was New Canaan coach Danny Melzer. We're going to take our final break, and when we come back, Mike and I will finish up assessing the league. You're listening to the Rudin Report Live on WICC.
Fall high school sports lives right here on WICC 695.9, the voice of Connecticut. Now, back to the Rudin Report and your host, Dave Rudin.
Okay, we're back, and Mike, we don't have a huge amount of time, but let's bounce around and get to our 5-8 teams and also a couple of teams to watch, as Danny said, and we talked about. The league's going to be deep with playoff contenders, I think. I think we're in alignment, too, with my number 5 team, which is now my number 4, and that's Fairfield Ward, which is 3-1, lost to Notre Dame Prep, but they've got a strong team with Jack Kramer in the middle, another team along with Ridgefield that has a really good big. And the player that's actually starting to get a little bit of notice, he did a good job last year, but he's off to a really good start, is Aiden Shea at guard.
No, I agree with you. I think those two, along with Ryan Moore, another guard, you know, are going to be the key to the Ward season. They seem to be playing a little bit better together than they did last year, which is going to be a plus for them. They lost to, as I said, you said, a Notre Dame of Prep, but Notre Dame of Prep is very good. So I think their Ward is going to be right there. I'm also very impressed with Ludlow.
Yep, we'll go through the eight. We're going to go down, because I know you have Ludlow up kind of high. Before, Just quick note with Fairfield Ward. I mentioned this, but we're going to have to come up with a weekly award named after him, because I know he was your guy. But Christmas Eve, I was out having dinner with my family, and who comes up to my table to say hello but our friend Jack Plesser.
Your guy. He's a real player's player in basketball, and I heard he's doing very well at Union College, so I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah, it was. He came up, he noticed me, and he just came up to the table and said he wanted to say hi and wish me happy holidays. And I actually, he told me he was doing well, and I looked it up quickly. Union's 3-5 right now, but he's a leading scorer. He's averaging 20 points and over 5 rebounds a game. So I don't know. We should come up with some sort of weekly award named after Jack Plesser. Okay. My number 6 team, I think I differ here, and this is a team I don't know. I mean, I'll keep them 6 for right now, but once we get into this territory, it's kind of hard to tell, and that's St. Joseph. They're 2-2, and like New Canaan, a lot of football players, and so they've been all over the place, and that was because they didn't have any they had a lot of football players missing time. I don't know. I've ever seen a team have a wider disparity of point scoring differential in a tournament, but they just lost to Manchester 109-68, and then they came back and in the final beat Portland 80-52.
But the two different teams.
Yeah, exactly.
The same level.
Yeah.
The two teams that they lost to, are very good teams. Manchester may be the best team in Division II and maybe one of the top teams in the state. So you can throw that game out. And the West Haven game, you can throw out their other loss, because DJ Wright and the other two basketball football players didn't play. So I think St. Joe's is going to be right there, especially when you have a kid like DJ Wright and you need a basket, you get the ball to him and he can score. Jaden Fabius is a pretty good player, and Lameek Black, another football guy. They're going to be right there. St. Joe's, don't take them lightly.
I put them at 6 and have them 5 now. Wright 25, Black 12, and Jermaine Hatchett, another good football player. Number 7, and this one I think I would change right now, and this was one of many teams where some people told me sleeper, some people told me not going to make the playoffs, is Bridgeport Central, and they're 2-1, and they played Greenwich yesterday and had a 54-47 win.
Yeah, Bridgeport Central, to me, is a mystery. He never sends in too much of his information, but they're going to be one of those teams that can be right around maybe 8, 9, 10, 11. I think you have them rated kind of high at 7, but, they're better than they were last year. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, I agree with you. I would probably bump them down a little. A team that you have a little higher than I do, and I had them 8 to start, and maybe I would bump them up a spot or two, I'm not sure yet, is Fairfield Ludlow, and they're 4-1, and their only loss is to Notre Dame Prep. And one of the early stars of the league has been Ryan Torello. I think he's been their leading scorer in every game. He had 21 in the consolation when they blew out Fairfield Prep yesterday. He missed all of last year with an injury, and then you had Charlie Mahoney, who had 18 points.
No, those two guys are, obviously key. And John Daly plays great defense also. I have Ludlow actually rated, up in the top 5 or 6. They can be tough. Charlie Mahoney is a good player, and they work well together. I saw them in the fall league. I thought they were, really going to be a good team in the FCAC this year. So they're going to be awful tough to beat. I put them and Ward kind of in the same category.
Okay, we just have a few seconds left, but after that, I don't remember a year where so many different people told me, yeah, team's going to be in the playoffs or they've got no chance, but and we don't have time to really talk about them. West Hill, Stanford, McMahon, New Canaan, and Danbury, I think they're all going to be in the hunt as well.
Well, West Hill's a sleeper. He's done a great job with them, and K.J. Rojas is one of the better players in the league. Stanford, you know, I agree with you. You know, who knows? But if they develop, big loss with E.J. Presley, but some of the others can pick it up.
Okay, Mike, thanks a lot. We'll be back next week on the Rudin Report Live on WICC. Thanks to all our guests.